Welcome to the Sweetest and Toughest Job podcast. I'm your host, Rachel, mom to three, and thank you so much for being here. On the show, we are celebrating the sweet moments and deep diving into the tough topics surrounding pregnancy, postpartum, and parenting. On this episode, I am chatting with Nina Reed. We're talking all about approaching birth, labor, and postpartum with confidence. The postpartum period especially can be such a tender time and one that just isn't focused on or talked about enough. So Nina and I talk about postpartum care and the importance of caring for yourself after birth. We talk about the differences between baby blues and postpartum depression. And on the birth side, Nina is giving some tips on how to prepare for birth with confidence. She's talking about her own experience of birth in the time of COVID, as she has a 3-month-old baby girl and just became a mom herself. And she's also talking about virtual doula services, which I think is so cool and such a neat offering given the certain circumstances right now. I really hope that you enjoy Nina and my conversation, a really important one about approaching birth, labor, and postpartum with confidence. Here's my chat with Nina. Hi, Nina. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rachel.
I am so thrilled to talk to you today. I usually kick it off by my guests telling a little bit about themselves, so I'll let you give your background and your family and all that great stuff.
All right. So again, my name is Nina. I'm the owner of Mommy and Me Professional Maternity Services. Right now, I just provide virtual doula services, but I'm also training to be a breastfeeding consultant and a childbirth educator. So we'll be adding those services. I'm also a registered nurse, although I don't work in labor and delivery. I feel like I had to throw that out there because every time I tell somebody I'm a doula, they say, "Oh, you work in labor and delivery?" Like, no. Not yet. So with COVID, I'm actually working from home right now, which kind of works out because I just had a little baby. She's 3 months old. So that's another reason why I had stopped with my doula services for a little while, because COVID hit and then I got pregnant. So everything's been on pause. So this year I've just been gearing up and getting everything back going and starting training and getting ready to take on some more clients.
Well, super important work. And you yourself are kind of in the throes of, right? In the postpartum sweet spot, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I feel like 3 months old, you're like, I mean, literally it's the end of the fourth trimester, as they call it, right? Where you're kind of coming maybe a tiny bit out of the fog, probably not all the way, but.
We're getting there.
You're getting there. That's good. Well, tell me what virtual doula services are, because that's so fascinating to me.
Yeah. So virtual doula services, especially with COVID going on and everyone not being able to have multiple people in the room, in the delivery room, you can have a virtual doula, which like how you would like FaceTime or Zoom with them, and they would provide that support virtually. Also, a lot of people aren't allowing, you know, people to come to their homes just because, you know, everybody's out. You just don't know what can happen. So we can just provide you services via telephone calls or FaceTime. And if you're comfortable with your doula coming to your home, you're more than welcome to do that. But I know a lot of people are just like, you know, with COVID and not knowing everything about it and how contagious it can be, everybody's a little more cautious about, you know, that. So you just, like I said, you can have your doula, you can start your doula services as early as 3 weeks into your pregnancy, as early as you want to. So you can have those multiple phone calls throughout the entire pregnancy, and then you'll have that support in the delivery as well. But it'll all just be FaceTime or, you know, Zoom calls.
How the world has changed, right? But yes. I love that you can still have an option like that. And especially first-time moms, that it really doesn't matter if it's your first, second, third, however many. Every birth is different. So it's, I think, sometimes just really invaluable to have somebody there to support you through all of it.
Yes, it really is. I felt the same way because, like I just said, I just had a baby in November. And at that time, we were allowed to have two people in the room with us. So I had my husband and then my sister, she came later on. I didn't hire a doula just because everything that was going on. I was like, I kind of know what's going on with labor. I think I can, you know, kind of get through it myself. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have had a doula. Mm-hmm. Even though I know everything, I think having a doula would have helped me even more. But yeah, just having somebody there, like I said, I had my my husband there, but he's not, this is our first baby, so he wasn't really sure what to expect, what was going on, even though I told him it's different when you're in the moment.
Yes.
So having somebody who's like, you know, unbiased and they, you know, they're not like super invested in, because he was like, I'm so worried about you being in pain. And it's like, it'll be fine. Like, I'm telling you how to help me. So just, you know, listen to what I'm saying and, you know, we'll get through it. But yeah, having somebody outside of your little bubble would have been helpful. You know, having somebody, you know, just because I told him a lot of the time, just tell me to relax. If you just keep reminding me to relax, like, I think I can get through this. And that pretty much is what helped me. But every woman is mm-hmm. different. So you may need somebody there who's, you know, massaging you or, you know, telling you to change positions frequently, giving you water, like anything that helps. So, like I said, with him being there, he was so focused on the pain aspect for me because I did it unmedicated that I think we both kind of forgot about, you know, changing positions and making sure I was drinking water and those things. So having a doula there would have definitely helped.
Things get intense, right?
Yes.
So when it's, you know, escalated and intense, it's hard to remember some of the simple things that you've told yourself, you know, leading mm-hmm. up to those crazy moments for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I feel like everything I knew, it kind of went out the window at the moment. It was like, okay, I just need to focus on getting this baby out. I don't remember anything, but
yes.
But yeah.
So I want to talk to you a little bit more about that. And I guess just the idea that as women, like giving birth, you're pregnant, and then the thought of actually giving birth can be very scary. It can be kind of surrounded with a lot of fear and uncertainty because, of course, nobody can know how it's actually going to all shake right. out. You can mm-hmm. have the most detailed birth plan, and that probably is not going to happen. So mm-hmm. what do you say to that? Like, how do you help moms and women to kind of get through the uncertainty and feel more confident?
Yeah, so I try to tell women just to get as much information as you can, know what to expect, but also be flexible, especially like if you have a detailed birth plan. Like, yes, this is what you want to happen, but birth is sometimes very unpredictable. Every birth is different. You can have your sister tell you that hers went this way and she said this and she did that. And, you know, everything went according to plan, but it could be totally different for you. So I just tell people, have a birth plan, but be flexible. Know what the interventions are, you know what your options are, what you can say yes to, what you can say no to. And then another big thing, especially for me, a lot of people tell their horror stories about labor. They tell about how much it hurts and, you know, the C-section and all that stuff like that. So that, if you don't know what to expect, that can scare you. Like, nobody likes to be mm-hmm. in pain. Like, nobody's looking forward to being in pain. So another thing I tell my clients is just kind of ignore the horror stories. Like, because your birth could be totally different. You know what I mean? Like, of course there's going to be pain. That's just a part of it. But you have to change your mindset about it. And that'll help you get through it.
So two really great pieces of advice, I feel like. Because the comparison game can be really strong, just in mm-hmm. motherhood in general. But even with birth, because I feel like, so I had unmedicated births as well. And I always get the comment like, oh, wow, you're amazing. I could never do that. And it's like, well, my labor wasn't long and, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't have any complications. So that was my story, but it doesn't make me any stronger than you were, you know, because you right. still gave birth too, right? So
right.
I think
yeah.
that comparison game can be really tricky. And I love the point that you made too about knowing your options. And I feel like that's mm-hmm. something that I didn't realize doulas help so much with is
yes.
more of a plan in the sense of like, okay, if this happens, then what is your choice? so that if it happens, you're already coming in with, you know, that choice made instead of like the heat of the moment and everything's chaotic and you're in a lot of pain.
Yeah. And especially if you're in a lot of pain, you're not going to be thinking straight. You might just say yes to whatever. And then you, you don't end up getting the birth that you would have wanted. So I always encourage people to just know what your options are, know what the interventions are, and know what can come up.
So, and do you help with postpartum at all, or are you mostly, you're a birth doula, right?
Mostly birth, but I am working for my certification for postpartum as well.
Okay, awesome. Well, let's talk about that a little bit, and I guess you're in that right now.
Yeah.
So what do you think some of the greatest challenges of being like newly postpartum are, and how women can kind of like confidently walk through that period?
With postpartum, again, don't compare yourself to others. Like we said, that's the biggest biggest mistake that people make is comparing themselves to others. And then just, I would say beforehand, and this is something that helped me, but I also encourage clients to do it as well. But beforehand, just make sure you gather up like a support team, like, you know, they call them like your tribe, your village, like get your people that you know will be there and be able to help you. Because afterwards, I was in a bed for a lot of the time, like me and the baby, we just, we ate, we slept, and that's all we did. And I'm breastfeeding now. So, you know, she was on the boob all the time and I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to clean the house. I didn't want to cook. I barely wanted to leave the room. So, so having, like I said, I have my husband here, so he supported me a lot. My mother and my sister, you know, they were there a lot. So just having those people that you know, like can cook for you. And those are things that a postpartum doula can do as well. They can come to the home, they can cook for you, clean a little bit, take care of baby so you can hop in the shower if you want to, like just have some me time. And that's another big thing, making sure you, you know, block out a little time for yourself, even if it's just like, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. Just doing that, I feel like it helped a lot as well.
I think that this is something I've talked about from time to time on the podcast. Like after you have a baby, it's just so against our culture and nature to like just kind of hunker down. We have this, you know, society that's like, oh, you just had a baby, whatever. Like you just need to keep going. And that's not the case. Like you should just sit in bed and recover. Your body just went through something major, major, major. And your baby needs you. So I think it's totally okay to tell yourself, you know, I don't need to do anything else right now, but take care of myself and this little baby. And if you have other children too.
Yes, them too. But yeah, I read a good book. It's called The First 40 Days. It's just about your postpartum period. And I felt like that kind of like enlightened me a little bit about like the old way of doing things, I guess I could say, when postpartum was like, you know, they actually paid attention to the mother, like, and what she needed. And like you said, like our society nowadays, it's like, okay, you're at home for a few weeks and you got to hurry up and go back to work. Sometimes your baby's so little, you're thinking like, do I really want somebody else to watch my child as a mother this small? Well, you have no choice because they, you know, you have to go to work. But that book kind of just opened my eyes a little bit to the way we used to do things. And I feel like we should kind of, if possible, work our ways back towards that, you know, so the mom and the baby can have that moment to bond and, you know, get to know each other. And I feel like that will help the mom with like postpartum depression and everything like that, like baby blues. You don't have that that moment to just, you know, sit with you and your baby. Like you're focused on everything else, so you kind of, you know, and then you feel like you're not doing enough because, you know, you're trying to do everything and take care of your baby. So I mean, it's a lot to think about.
Yes. I've heard of this book, The First 40 Days. And I believe a guest I've had on the podcast has talked about it before too. And I, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it brings up the point that you made about like having your tribe around you. And it used to be that it would be like a community would take care of mom and baby, right? Like you'd have grandma and aunts and uncles, and it's kind of just the way people lived. And we've just gotten away from that just in how we live. But that doesn't have to be your family if you don't live around family. If your friends are asking if you need help or your husband's willing to help, I mean, it's so important to surround yourself with the help and take it. Take the help.
Yes. That's what I was getting ready to say. That was one of my biggest issues until one of my friends was like, if everybody is offering to help, like, let them do it. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of women, like, they're like, oh, no, I'm fine. You know, I'm okay. Like, it's fine. It's like, no, take the help. Like, you'll need it.
Yes.
You'll appreciate it afterwards.
I'm one of those people. I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. And literally, my sister tells me all the time, she's like, just take the help. What are you doing? And I'm like, okay, you're right. I need the help.
Yeah, my mom was saying that. She was like, people are going to keep offering you help, and then you're going to keep turning it down, and they're going to stop. And then you're going to realize, like, I probably should have taken that as help.
Yes. Okay, and you mentioned baby blues versus postpartum depression. And I saw that you did a post on this not too long ago, which I think is such an interesting distinction to make. But do you know the differences between the two, or could you like briefly kind of talk about that?
Yeah, so postpartum depression is basically just a more severe baby blues. Baby blues, you're a little sad, and you know, you might not feel like, you know, you're doing enough for your baby or yourself, you know what I mean? You just might just be a little bit sad, but it's something you can easily, you know, get over, you know. I hate to say get over, because I don't like to tell people, just get over it. Like, your feelings are your feelings. Right. But yeah, baby blues, you can definitely work through that easier. Postpartum depression, it lingers a little bit longer. Like I said on the post, baby blues lasts about maybe 2 weeks, and then you'll probably like get over, like once your hormones get back, you know, together and come back down and everything, you kind of, you know, get through that. But with postpartum depression, it lasts a little bit longer, and it can come up months later. Like, it's not immediate. Baby blues kind of happens like right after birth. Postpartum depression can start anywhere within that first year, and it can last for a long time if it's untreated. And with that, you'll have more symptoms like, you know, you're overly anxious about the baby, or you just have no interest at all in your baby. You may think of harming yourself or the baby. And another interesting thing I realized is that it can happen in your spouse as well. I didn't realize that. So, yeah, it's just important to look for those signs. Like I said, you know, some women, when you first get home, it is very overwhelming when you have a brand new baby and you have no idea what to do. But if those feelings last for too long and you feel like too sad or too depressed, especially if you have a history of depression or anxiety, it's definitely a good idea to talk to your provider, or just talk to a friend if that helps you. But if talking to a friend or something doesn't help you relieve those symptoms, definitely reach out to your provider.
Thank you for kind of laying all of that out. And I know you're not a doctor or psychologist, but having studied, you know, doula care, definitely, I know you know things about this area. And I feel like too, I wish that the stigma wasn't surrounding the baby blues and postpartum depression as much. I feel like we just don't talk about it enough. And so especially new moms can find themselves feeling maybe that they don't have a connection with their baby. What's wrong with me? And some of that can be surrounded with the baby blues. But it can be very common, and it's okay if you're feeling those things and you just need to get help and tell somebody about it and talk about it, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because most of the time, once you express those feelings and you realize, like, okay, like, this is normal, like, some people do feel this way, it makes you feel better. When you realize like you're not alone in this.
Yes. And I have three kids, and I've definitely after birth had a hard time, especially with my first, having that in it, like instant connection. And I remember thinking like, is there something wrong with me? And I think it was just hormones and the overwhelm and an adjustment, and your life's just changed. And you know, the connection came, it just wasn't immediate, and that was okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a lot of women out there like that where it doesn't come immediately. And like you said, like, it's not talked about enough, just like mental health in general. I feel like it's not talked about enough. But yeah, just making sure that they have somebody that they can speak to, talk to about it. Like I said, when you're pregnant, that's your prime time to try to get your tribe together, because that postpartum period is so important, but it's not talked about enough.
So since you gave birth just during this COVID thing, I know you've mentioned a few things like you can do, have a virtual doula. Do you have any advice for moms that are kind of navigating this right now, that are pregnant, about to give birth?
I would just say, you mean as far as like getting ready for labor or just in general?
Yeah. Because I know that I'm sure I didn't have a baby during COVID, but I'm sure that can add another layer of kind of uncertainty and anxiety that isn't there during normal times. There's enough to worry about when you're about to have a baby, but now there's all of this crazy going on. Depending on where you live, there's different rules and all that.
So that would be a big thing, just finding out what your hospital policies are right now, and I would wait until like a little bit closer to your due date, because I did like a virtual, everything's virtual now. I did a virtual tour of the of the hospital, like the birthing room and everything. And it was a Zoom call, and the woman I was on the call with, she just kind of explained to me, like, this is what our guidelines are now, but they could change. So I think I had my baby in November. I did the call in maybe like July. And at that time, they only allow one person in the room. So then by the time I went into labor, they allow two people. So just kind of know what to expect and just prepare for anything to happen. But like I said, I prepared to have only one person, but I had my sister. I just let her know, like, just in case they allow two people, I'll, you know, let you come back too, because I wanted her support as well. So that could be something you can discuss with your doula. Like, okay, right now they're saying it's only one person, but if, you know, if it changes when we get closer and I want you to come, you can just let your doula know, like, I do want you to be there instead of being there virtually. With the hospital that I was at, they tested me and my husband for, no, actually they didn't. They only tested me for COVID. They said they were going to test him, but they, for some reason, I forget what it was, but they didn't test him. So they tested me for COVID, and then they kind of just let us, like, made us stay in the room the whole time. We were kind of like quarantined in our room until my results came back. And they ended up coming back negative, thankfully. But still, once my visitors came, I can only have two people in the room at a time, and everybody had to have like name tags and show which room they were in. So it was different, but it wasn't bad, at least for me, because I felt like I didn't want like a room full of people after I gave birth anyway. So only having two people at a time was totally fine for me. But just figuring out what your hospital allows, and just make sure you do it a little closer to your due date, because like I said, things are changing frequently.
Changing all the time.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for just candidly sharing your experience, and then as a doula, some of your wisdom around all of this. Tell us how people can find you and connect with you and all that good
stuff. Yeah. So right now I'm revamping my website. So I don't have my website up, but for, if you want to get in touch with me, I'm at MommyNMeLLC on Instagram, and my email is MommyNMeLLC@gmail.com. So if you want to talk to me, ask me any questions, that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Well, I will link all of this good stuff. And thank you so much for your time, and enjoy those sweet baby snuggles.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Head over to sweetestandtoughestjob.com. You'll find additional episodes there, as well as information from today's episode, resources, and links. We'd love to connect with you on social media
at Sweetest and Toughest Job on either Instagram or Facebook. And a special thank you to Makai Pace for all the original music used.